We want to turn today to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 29. I was really blessed. When God does stuff like this, it really blesses me that it's Palm Sunday, and we're so glad that Jesus rode that little donkey into Jerusalem, and they sang Hosanna, and they praised His holy name, and called Him the King of Son of David, the Son of David, because God had made the promise to David that He would establish His throne forever, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And so Passover is happening this week. This is the Passion Week. Friday night, we'll be here at 6 o'clock to have a Good Friday service and a lovely choir's coming, and to tell the story, read the story, and be together, and I will give a message at the end. And bring your unsaved friends, because we will give an altar call Friday night for people to get saved. At this time of year, Easter time and Christmas time, people are just more open to the gospel. And if you can bring them to a service where Jesus is lifted up and glorified, it might be their time to accept the Lord. And that is always wonderful, most blessed indeed. And so, again, we have the sunrise service, and that will be including like three churches. I mean, Pastor Hector's coming from Long Beach, and we have a church from Orange coming, like always comes, and it's such a blessing. And they bring their musicians and have a brass section with trumpets, and it's just awesome to bring the sunrise up over the back part of the property here, thinking about S-O-N, the sun rising from the dead. And so praise God. But as I was saying about the Passover, it was instituted so many years ago through Moses. And Moses is our next character in our list of heroes in the Bible to learn faith from. His faith was so great. And his parents, both of them, his parents' faith was so great. And so we're going to read today about them, and then also the faith that was required by Moses to begin the Passover feast, to begin the Passover act, which was an act of faith that he stepped out to do exactly what God told him in the killing of the lamb without spot or blemish, and putting the blood on the doorposts of the houses so that the angel of death would pass over them. And the firstborn of Egypt was killed, but all the Israeli babies and firstborn were saved because of the blood. And that's a picture that began in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, and has spanned all of the Bible and all these years, and was fulfilled in Jesus Christ as He came and died on the cross. And actually, there's a picture of the cross in what God told Moses to do. And so those fit together so beautifully that I thought it would be good to just continue in the scriptures here with Moses. So let's go to verse 23 in Hebrews 11 as we learn our first faith lesson for us that applies to us today as well. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months of his parents. So his parents, by faith, they hid him. Now, Pharaoh had given the command to kill all the babies that were boys that were born, because he was afraid that those boys would grow up and become a mighty army and conquer Egypt. So the command was given. But Moses' parents, when he was born, by faith, hid him for 3 months because they saw that he was a proper child, or a beautiful child, is what another translation says. And also, as you look at the Hebrew word there, it actually means a favored child. A favored child, and actually with the divine favor upon his life. They sensed that, they saw that in him, and they had a joy that they could hide him out because of this anointing upon his life. He was a proper child, a beautiful child, a favored child, and they were not afraid. God took the fear out of their hearts of hiding their son. They could have dwelt upon the fact that they would be discovered hiding the baby. The whole family might have been killed, that kind of thing, but no, no fear, no fear. And this is something that's true when faith happens. It just chases all the fear away. Fear is actually the opposite of faith. And so we see that his parents, mom and dad alike, were not afraid for the king's commandment. Glory to God. Something to really look for in our own lives when something hairy and scary springs up. You know, there's a little verse in the Psalms that says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And so when the fear comes, I bring in the faith right away. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And this is what these parents did. They were not afraid. And they tucked him under the bed or whatever they did with him for 3 whole months. And then you think of the rest of the story. The Lord told them to build a little ark and dub it with pitch or tar to make it floatable. It was made out of reeds. And they put the baby at 3 months old into the ark and put it out on the Nile River. Man, would that ever take some faith. I wonder if they left the bottle in there with him or... You know, I don't know, but just the faith it took to do that one. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? Pharaoh's daughter found the ark floating in the Nile River. Miriam, his older sister, about 12 years old then, followed the ark to see what would happen. And Pharaoh's daughter rescued the baby. And you know what's going to happen now for the baby? Safety, total, never kill you. Beautiful thing happened there, right? The prayers of mom were probably going up like thunder. Oh, God, save my baby. Just the faith that that took. And then God made mama and papa more than conquerors, just like it says in Romans 8, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. As Pharaoh's daughter rescued the baby and Miriam came down right away, his sister, and said, "Should I find him a nurse?" And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes." She went home and got mom. Oh, yeah. So now mom's got baby back. Her heart's desire, and the baby's safe. Don't have to hide him anymore under the protection of Pharaoh's daughter. But not only that, this is where it becomes more than conquerors. Pharaoh's daughter says, "I will pay you." So mom is now paid to take care of her own baby. Isn't that awesome? I love this part of the Bible. And that is such a thing. Faith. Faith. They just sensed this anointing. Now, the thing about not fearing is mentioned again in verse 27. Let's go down there because we're going to look at this subject a little deeper. By faith, when Moses then grew up, he forsook Egypt, not fearing, here it is again, lack of fear, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The way he had no fear, and the way he received the faith, it's just like Jesus was standing there with him. And you know, brothers and sisters, this is true today about you and I. When two or three or more are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them, the middle of us, and he lives in our hearts. And he's busy taking his word and conforming us to his image. He is sharing through the Holy Spirit special messages for each one of you as we simply read the Word of God. The Lord told me years ago, "Mark, as a pastor, you just put transitional words between my word and let my word do the work." It's God who is at work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he's speaking to each one of us today in certain ways, and maybe dealing with your fears right now. The things that you're afraid of, that kind of want to rule your life every day. Just being afraid of this, afraid of that. You got to switch over to the opposite and get into the faith part of it. Yes, believing the Lord. Because, again, fear is the opposite of faith. And so we see here that Moses was not fearing the wrath of the king when he forsook Egypt, because he endured seeing him who is invisible, seeing as the Lord just standing right with him. And that's what we can do and live in that way. I'd like to turn to a scripture with you, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Now these are very familiar scriptures to us, hopefully, and hopefully you have these verses underlined in your Bible. But just a little different slant this night or this day, let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, it says, be careful for nothing, or another actually rendition of that is, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which is humbly making earnest request to the Lord, with thanksgiving. So there's a faith there. There's a thanksgiving even in advance before God takes care of whatever fear it is you have. Just with thanksgiving, you bring it to him. And then it says, the promise, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the prayer is there, the faith is there, with thanksgiving, you come to him, believing him, and then this peace floods your soul that is so great that it passes any understanding of the fear. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path and show you the way out from the fear. And then you've got the faith going, like Moses and his parents, in this first lesson we're having about faith and how it appears in the great cloud of witnesses and Moses right here. Such a great thing. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but three things instead. Power, the power of God behind you, and he's able to do anything. He can get you out of situations that you don't even know how to begin to get out of. That's why they're so scary. Love. Power, love. He loves you so much. When you forget everything else and nothing else makes sense, remember, God loves you. Start singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And sometimes that's all you know. You just know that he loves you. And that love will begin to dispel the fear as you picture him standing beside you and working with you and taking care of you. And then it says, a sound mind. I'm so glad of that one. Sometimes you think you're going crazy. Does your brain ever get going so fast you don't know what to do next? I mean, this situation's so hairy, and you're just going... You know what it says in Psalm 46:10? Be still and know that I am God. You just stop and you know that God is right there and he can take care of any situation. And so then the peace that passes the understanding of the whole scene guards your heart, massages your heart, just blesses your heart. And you are receiving then that deep peace of God, which is indescribable. You can't really describe it till it happens to you, and then you try to describe it, and you can't. You got to experience it to know what's going on there. And it's beautiful. So this is what Moses' parents had through this very difficult situation. Imagine putting the pitch on the ark. Imagine trying to tell Moses to be quiet for 3 months, and he's a baby. Oh, man. But they had the faith, and they weren't afraid. And what a blessing. And then Moses himself. Now, I'm so intense about this because just this week, I had such a release this week of a great fear in my heart. That years ago, the Lord told me, as I was laying on my face after a men's prayer meeting, He said, I want you to start a Christian school. Because I'd asked Him, Lord, what can I do to help the United States of America? And He said, start a Christian school. And we started a Christian school in 1994. And actually, Louis was the first principal, right, Louis? Glory to God that you're sitting right there, bro. Anyway, but through the years, we had several principals and things going on. And this last year, the school lost money every single month for a whole year. And we're starting to, you know, develop the fear factor, right? And just wonder what's going on. And this last month, we were $17,000 behind totally with church and school deficit. The school has lost $5,000. And Pastor Bill was saying he didn't know if he could make the payroll, the next payroll. And so it got pretty hairy. And so Sherry and I went out to the desert house and just sought the Lord. So God, what do you want us to do? There doesn't seem to be a way out of this. And the Lord just started speaking to our hearts. And I remember that a year ago, Calvary Chapel Open Door over here on Harbor, who is a school also, came over and said, do you have any rooms to rent for us? I said, you know, bro, Pastor Don said, Pastor Don, we just don't have any rooms for you right now. And so some way and somehow I'd gotten the yearbook of Calvary Open Door, which is what's it called? Calvary Open Door Christian Academy. And I was looking and I was thinking, wow, this book is all filled with the love of Jesus. And I saw people I recognized, and it was really neat. Roger Stahlhut was in there. He was the founder of the school. He used to go to our church years ago, and he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he went on to serve at Calvary South Bay for a while. Then he used to be the head football coach of the Anaheim football team. Man, I'd love to go to those games. In fact, two of the linebackers got saved in our church at that time. Played for Anaheim High School. And man, we just were been friends for years. And so Pastor Roger moved on to Calvary Downey, and he is the principal at Calvary Downey now, this very large school. And so the plot begins to thicken. And anyway, he had started a school at Open Door. He had come and founded a church here, and it was really sweet. He called me on the phone. He said, Mark, do you mind if I start a church in Anaheim? You know, it's just my hometown. I want to start a church. I said, Roger, go for it, man. The more the merrier, right? That's what you say. And so he started the church, started the school over there, and many connections through the years with that school and those precious people. So anyway, I called up Pastor Don, and I said, Don, by any chance, are you still looking for rooms to rent? And he says, Mark, I can't believe you just called me. He said, we were going to build rooms on top of the building. It's the old ski chalet that's closed over there. It's their building. And the city just turned us down. And we are so disappointed, and we don't know where we're going next or what we can do. And I said, brother, I have news for you. Why don't you come over and take our campus? Now, there's a wild idea. Only God can think of things like this. And he goes, this is the Lord, man. And I said, yeah, this is the Lord. And we started getting giddy as schoolgirls at Christmas time. And I mean, we were just going crazy with this idea. Well, to make a long story short, their elders approved it last Sunday, and our elders approved it the Tuesday before that, and we are a match. And what God has been doing since then is incredible. One of the ladies here at our church that was concerned about her daughter wanted to see about this new school that's coming in over here. And so she went over there, and who does she run into? Debbie Tabernier. Do you know her? You guys know her. She sang in the choir here for years. And she was also the head of the preschool here. And this particular lady worked for her at the preschool all those years ago. So she received this huge piece about what God's doing, putting us together, and comes running back here to encourage the other parents. And so, man, the Lord's on the move. Then Pastor Steve tells me their assistant principal over there, Pastor Jaime, is one of his best friends, because they've worked as youth pastors together for years in many events. In fact, he even said he calls Jaime the Mexican Steve. How about that? I mean, how about that? And these connections continue, and the blessings of these connections continue. And so they're bringing their school over here in the fall. And they are happy as clams at high tide, and we are happy as clams at high tide, because we need them, and they need us, because they need room to grow. And when they saw our field, we have a $100,000 soccer field out there. That's what it cost to build that thing, man. It was a big one. And the $85,000 playground, and volleyball court, and two new basketball things that go into the ground. He thought he died and went to heaven, man. It was just a beautiful thing to see. And so they are excited. Now, another thing is, we had a high school, and it was 5 years we had a high school here, but it got expensive, and we became in the hole $100,000 from the high school. You can imagine having that much debt. But anyway, we had to let the high school go. And we never got, what's it called, accredited. We had an accreditation team come over to check us out, and they said, oh man, you guys have so much to do to be accredited. So that never happened. They are bringing an accredited high school program with them when they come. So now we're not going to be just from preschool to eighth grade, but preschool through high school, with the ability to send any of our graduates to Notre Dame or any large school they want to get into, because we're accredited. Hallelujah. Can I have a hallelujah? Woo! Man, I could dance on this one. We are so blessed. And could anybody do this but God? I didn't do this. God did this. I mean, he's got some great ways to get you out of major trouble. Oh, yes, he does. And he's a God of great surprises, isn't he? You know what? When he rose from the dead, the scriptures say that the disciples couldn't speak for the joy. They were so surprised that he was alive, they couldn't even talk. Well, I can talk, but but I tell you, the surprise is just amazing. And we're so, so blessed with what God is doing. So there it is. So I wanted to give you two more scriptures on fear. Now, 1 John 4:17 says, there's no fear in love. As we get to the love, as we go to the love of Christ, and we do picture him right with us, then the love dispels the fear. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. He takes care of that fear when you're just loving him and receiving his love. Now, I want to give you a scripture in Revelation on this subject. Let's go to Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. Oh, man, these are such great scriptures, but really bringing the point out that really unbelief goes along with living a fearful life. And as we rebuke the fears, stand with Jesus, receive His power, receive His love, and receive the sound mind that He wants to give to us to reason things out with Him. It is so tremendous. Now it says, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things." You know, it's great to inherit $1,000 or even $1,000,000. But here it says that he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Wow, that's a lot. Our God will cause all things to be actually coming to us through our relationship with Jesus and coming into full sonship. And it's just amazing. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We are his sons and his daughters, and he watches out for us and guards us with jealousy, really. He's a jealous God. He's jealous for you and wants to watch over you. But now let's go to verse 8, the first part, because this is where I wanted to show you. It says, "But the fearful," or another translation says, "the cowardly," the fearful, "and unbelievers," or the unbelieving. So there we see those two words together. The fearful, or cowardly, and the unbelieving. Those are two words that are synonymous. When I'm fearful, I'm not believing the Lord. And so I want to move quickly from that. Now the Apostle Paul said he had fears within and fightings without, but he knew how to go to the Lord. He knew how to clear that up with Jesus and trusting the Lord. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee," to quote that again. And so we do not want to be cowardly or fearful and unbelieving. It's in a list of terrible things, and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, and drug takers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we want to just leave that list behind, amen, and go with the Lord every time. And so there it is, this beautiful thing of dispelling our fears, taking our fears away, giving us the peace that passes understanding, and bringing us into a place of faith, standing in the Lord in a faithful, faith-filled way. Part of being actually led by the Lord. And that's, we admire these great heroes of the faith in the Bible. So let's go on to the next thing now. Let's go back to Hebrews and chapter 11, Hebrews 11, and look at the next verses there. So verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." We look here that there is pleasure in sin for a season. Those that begin to get drunk in their youth, they have some fun times, and there's some pleasure there. But then you need 2 6-packs later on to get as drunk as you got with 1 6-pack before. And that's the way the devil's train works, to lead you on his train to death, is to get you to take more and more of something that's not good for you. So then they end up with cirrhosis of the liver, and their brains are pretty much shot, and they're being mean to their family and losing their jobs and their families. So, terrible road. But there is pleasure for a season. But it's just a season. And then you think of the drug thing. You need more and more drugs, especially opiates, to take care of pain, to take care of things that are bugging you, and then you become addicted. And then you take so much, you find yourself dead one day. And that's what happens to so many in our nation today. This is a really big problem. And so it's just examples of choosing the pleasures of sin for a season, because it doesn't last. The pleasure turns to a nightmare. But Moses chose wisely, because he rather chose to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy those fleeting pleasures and go with the people of God away from the treasures of Egypt into the desert and minister to those people and love those people. And he, because he was mindful of the reward, and that is something that is real for you and I as well. It says he esteemed the reproach of Christ, the fellowship of suffering with Jesus Christ, because all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer some sort of persecution. And yes, we go through afflictions. And the more we love people, the more that people can hurt us. And we can be, because we're vulnerable with the love of Christ. But he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He could have laid in a hammock the rest of his life sipping iced tea in his condo on the Nile beach the rest of his life. But he went out to the desert to suffer affliction with the people of God and giving up his life. Christ said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, your persecution that comes to your life, and follow me. And so those three things. And so those are something to count the cost about. But oh, the cost is so worth it because of the rewards. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this reward situation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. Now that's back from Hebrews, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8. And it begins to talk about the body of Christ here. And it, you know, the body of Christ is really a precious thing. I'm thinking about Pastor Don bringing his folks over here to just bless our campus with this school. And we see this as our whole school together, because we're the body of Christ. These four walls in no way could ever hold the body of Christ. And it's so precious to work together, different ministries on the same campus. I think of Brother George, that's been here for years. He has an office here. He ministers to the Muslims. And to be honest with you, I don't think I could really do the Muslim thing myself. I mean, you know, go to the mosque and say, here I am, shoot me, you know. I mean, I won't get into that, but anyway. But George can, and there's folks here in our church that love it, you know, love the blessing of it. And you think about Brother Louis again here, bringing all these missionaries to us. He's got 89 missionaries now. He doesn't stop. And combined with ours, we have over 100 missionaries that we can pray for and be part of their lives around the world, because God has brought Brother Louis here to our campus. And what a blessing. And so it is just so great. It says, now he that plants and he that waters are all one in the body of Christ. There's some that plant and some that water. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so the Bible is teaching us here that every single one of us, as we fit into the body of Christ, and as I look around the congregation every time I preach on this, I see people and I think, I just have these fond, warm fuzzies, because I know what that person does to edify and build up this church. It is just incredible to see that as I look at you guys. And there's Lynn and Chris, and you guys are great. And you know, just Bill and Terry are over there, and Mark and Wendy are here. I mean, you guys are just all such a part of the body of Christ here, I can't do this stuff, all this stuff you do. No way. So I don't even understand many times the things like Bill does. You know, he says he loves to talk to insurance companies. It's amazing. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, huh, brother? I don't know. But every man shall receive his own reward for his own labor. It's an individual thing, and yet we're together in all this. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful because we need each other so bad. And it's wonderful. So, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. God's building a building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a master builder. And this verse is the verse that the Lord gave me to comfort me and to tell me that this was a good thing to ask this school to join us. It says this, I have laid the foundation. Calvary Chapel Anaheim started a school through Pastor Louis in 1994, and another builds thereon because we're the body of Christ. And so Pastor Don coming over to build in the place that we already built, the field, the playground, the large parking lots, 4.6 acres we're on. We really need to have a lot of people here, you know? And when the people start going down, you got to go find more people. School's coming. And that is so great. All the way through high school. I can't get over saying that. I need to say that over and over again. We have a high school. We can protect. And this is the big deal. And this is what we agreed on in the vision, is that we can now protect kids from preschool to high school from the public school system and all that goes on those public campuses, like gangs and all the stuff they do. We can protect them all the way through high school. That is such a tremendous blessing for us to think about. Praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And so, one lays the foundation, another builds thereon. This is really, really great. Okay, now I want to take you to a scripture concerning this subject right now that we're looking at, being mindful of the rewards, to let you know that your secular job, whatever it is important to God. And see that He is preparing rewards for you for being a good employee. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3:23. And it says this, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Whatever you do, whatever job you've got, you become a company man or a company woman. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You can look past your boss, and sometimes you have to because they're not very nice to you. And you want to just run, you know, slug and run or whatever, you know. But no, the Lord wants you to look past your boss. It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily with all your might as to the Lord. Like the Lord is your boss, because He is, and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. You receive a reward from Him for being a good employee and doing whatever you got to do heartily. You shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve who? You serve the Lord Christ. That's who you're serving. That's the real job you're doing. I remember in the auto parts store, I tell you an old auto parts story today, is that I used to lay on the counter a lot, you know, just with my eyes half mass, just waiting for a customer to come in or whatever. And that kind of life, you look up at the clock and only 4 minutes has gone by. And you just can't wait for lunch, and then you can't wait to get off and the stuff. What kind of life is that? You spend most of your life at work. And if you're going to do it that way, I mean, that is a bummer of a life. But the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, you just need to get busy and be productive here at work. Serve me here. Work hardly. And so the Lord showed me the paint cans. And the paint cans were in a long row in the auto parts store. It was a pretty large store. It had 20,000 items, you know, and it takes a while to learn that many items. But you're looking, I was looking at the paint cans, and I noticed when people would come in and take the paint cans, there was holes. And it didn't look very neat over there. So I began to bring up the paint cans every day so that they were lined up like a military unit, you know. You look down the paint cans. And every once in a while, I'd look over with little pride, you know. Well, I did that. And then the Lord showed me a duster. First time I ever dusted. And it says, keep the dust off the top of the paint cans. Because they were very shiny and beautiful because they're the color that you want to paint and make your car look. So they would gather dust on them every day. And so I would go and dust the paint cans all the way down and make sure there was no dust on top of my beautiful paint cans. And taking ownership of the paint cans. So that sounds kind of weird probably to you, but man, time would go by really fast. Before I knew it was lunchtime. Oh, it's lunchtime. You know, I didn't even finish my paint cans yet. And it was just became livable over there, you know, at the auto parts store. And I'd like to encourage you with that. And to take this scripture seriously, that you're going to receive a reward from Jesus Christ for dusting the paint cans. It's as simple as that, man. Because you're doing it heartily from your heart as unto the Lord. And it'll give you a better day. It will make you a beautiful person in the sight of your boss and your fellow employees, a real example on how we should all be and live in Christ. Amen? It's beautiful. Okay, one more scripture on this idea then of reward. Let's go to Revelation and chapter 22, verse 12. Now remember that Moses is looking forward, you see, to the reward, whatever that is for him, in Jesus, in the Lord, the person that stood next to him but was invisible. And so we read one of the last things that Jesus ever said, Revelation 22:12. This is the last chapter in the Bible. And Jesus is speaking. After this, he just tells you who he is. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then a little later, he tells us that he's the Son of David, and he is the bright and morning star, which he is, just the light of the world. But here he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. When Jesus comes to get you, whether in the rapture or you pass away before the rapture, and Jesus comes to get you, and you go to meet him in heaven, his reward is with him. He has your reward ready for you. It's a very special, individual, personal thing between you and God. And Moses knew that. Moses had a handle on that. And it gave him great faith. So we look forward. And this is why we have so much prophecy in the Bible to the second coming of Jesus Christ for you. For he's coming quickly, and he says, my reward is with me to give every person according as his work shall be. That's a beautiful thing to think about. It kept Moses going, that's for sure. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on then now back to Hebrews 11 and finish with these last two verses and take communion. So it says here in verse 28, through faith, he, that is Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, as I shared, the angel, the destroyer, came through Egypt. And as he came through, he destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. But God told Moses what to do to protect the Israelites. They were to kill a lamb without spot and without blemish, and put the blood, and I always like to use the cross for this example, because it does make a cross. The blood was to be put on the top of the doorpost where the crown of thorns was on the cross. And on either side of the doorpost where the blood was, where the nails went into his hands. And tradition has it that the lamb was killed at the base of the door, and the blood was poured into a basin, and then you would use the hyssop to poke into the basin and put the blood here, here, and here. And so the blood at the foot where the nail went in his foot. And this is a picture that God was painting. Moses knew nothing about the cross. The cross wasn't even invented until 400 B.C. And Moses was 12 to 1400 B.C. They all argue about that. But it was way, way earlier, at least 500 years earlier. And so he knew nothing about the cross, but he, in obedience to the Lord, followed what God said to do. And as we accept Christ into our hearts, we have his blood on the doorposts of our heart. And his cross and what was done there takes care of us as a destroyer would love to destroy us. Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might destroy. But we are set free from the power of Satan and from death and moved into everlasting life because of Jesus' blood on the doorposts of our hearts. And that was given as a picture to Moses in the second book of the Bible. So all through history moving up to that time that the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, became the Passover Lamb. Because it says that you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. It's very clear as that's brought together in the New Testament. So, wow. To see that by faith, Moses did that. So sometimes God will ask you to do strange things. But you never know what he's up to because he's so creative. He's amazingly creative. And he asked Moses to make this picture, and Moses probably didn't even understand it fully his whole life. But God explained real good. And I think of Moses and Elijah with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible tells us that they were talking about his decease. They were talking about his death on that mountain. So Moses would get an earful about what Jesus was going to do. And that is wonderful. And just probably maybe even thinking back to when the Father told Moses to put the blood where he told him to put it. And he did it. And it would be a shame if he just kind of skipped some of the directions. He skipped one end of the doorpost, or the top, or the bottom, any of it. The cross would not be pictured there. But he obeyed. And it's so important to be in total obedience to the Lord, to do everything we can to do and live out anything God tells us to do, even if it seems to be strange. And sometimes it will. Now the last one then, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And you know, this hit me in a way it never hit me before, with the drowning of the Egyptians, with an emphasis there. God had to get rid of this relentless Pharaoh. He would say, oh yeah, you can do that. And the next day he would change his mind. He was always after the Israelites. His pride was too big to let those guys go. And so don't you know that they would always have to be looking over the shoulders the rest of their lives for this crazy Pharaoh. Kind of like the guy in Korea coming after you. Doesn't like you. and wants to do you in. And so just the hardness of his heart as God strengthened him in his bad decisions. And God just saw it. I got to kill this guy. He'll never give up. So the Lord opened the Red Sea and sent them forth on dry land. Can you imagine how much faith it took for those dear people to walk down between two walls of water? And I saw an artist's conception. Is that the right word? I don't know. The Red Sea experience with a whale swimming through one side of the wall. Can you imagine? I mean, you see a whale going by. Bobby, look, there's a whale, and he's above us. And there's no glass there. I mean, it takes a lot of faith, right? So by faith, they went into the Red Sea, representing their salvation from Egypt. And God had to finalize that thing, because this guy would not give up, as he was bent on killing those people. And he came following into the Red Sea. The pride pushed him in there, not faith. Pride. Got to kill these guys. Keep my face before all the other nations of the world. And then it says that God drowned them all. The Egyptians that were coming after them were drowned. And you know what? It's not like in the movie with that famous actor that was known, the other guy, Yul Brynner. He lived to go home to his wife and yell at her, whatever he did. But they have found a golden chariot wheel in the Red Sea where this happened. It was a film made in 2000 and was for sale at Costco. And if you want to see the movie, just get online and look for Exodus Revealed, and it will show you a golden chariot wheel. And this, they presume, was Pharaoh's. They had other chariot wheels there. The wood was destroyed after so long in the water. But the coral always forms in the shape of what it forms around. And the shape stays in the coral. And you see rods with chariot wheels at the top with coral all around them. And you actually see those from the archaeologists and their snorkeling gear, or skin diving gear, whatever you call it, down there taking these films. And they found one wheel that was total gold. And it was unmarred because wood disintegrates, but gold stays. And so, man, Pharaoh, he bought the farm that day, man. I mean, the evidence of his chariot wheel at the bottom of the ocean. And God took away all threats from Israel. And Miriam got her tambourine out. And Moses wrote a song. The horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. And they rejoiced in the deliverance of God. And so one of the reasons that God made them do a strange thing is to make sure the enemy would never get them. The enemy was taken care of. And that's what the Lord has done to Satan with you and I. He's a toothless lion. And he's had his defeat. And the Lord has given us power over sin and death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection every year. Oh, what power we have. Oh, what love that surrounds us in the power that's given, and him working on our minds, actually conforming us to Christ's image every day and renewing us in our minds, Romans 12:2. And so God is doing a great work in our lives, and the rejoicing is just there to do because God loves you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together and take communion. So, Father, we thank you so very much, Lord God, for these Bible truths. We thank you for this unbelievable list of great lessons that we get, Lord. The lessons of faith, not fear. And, Lord, the lessons of looking forward to the reward. And, Father God, knowing that sometimes we'll be called to do things we don't understand, but we know it's you. And Lord, actually called to, Lord, do things that are hard to do and we don't understand, and places to go where it seems like, why are we going here? Oh, but Lord God, you're leading us, you're guiding us, and we're trusting you, that you're standing right next to us, and you've got it all taken care of. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these Bible truths. Thank you for these parts of faith that we see in Moses and his parents. And so, Lord, bless communion now, Father, as we take it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So at this time, we're going to take communion. So let's go ahead and pray for the bread before we pass it out. The way we take communion here is that we'll wait till everyone's served, and then we'll take it all together at the same time. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this bread. We know that it represents your body, which has been broken for us. And, Lord, we're just really thankful that that's over for you now. You did that, and that's over. But now you are resurrected, and you're living to make intercession for us continually. And we so appreciate it, Lord. Father, I want to pray in Jesus' name as the dear people here take the bread this day, that you would be very close to each one. Lord, we have, all of us, our own personal struggles. And Lord God, we want to just experience the faith through that. So help each one, Lord. Speak personally to each one and be very close. And so we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And we do this in remembrance of him, showing the Lord's death until he comes, in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to be our Passover and save us from death by his death. And so we acknowledge his saving death now as we drink this cup and share the cup that he drank for us. Please bless this cup. Bless our salvation and our lives to be a demonstration of his resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. After supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the new covenant." And he said, in my blood. And that is for the remission or the forgiveness, the washing away of sins. And so we're so clean when we leave here today and as we walk in an intimate way with the Father through Jesus, just knowing that he's right there with us. And so we take the cup in faith in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Yes. If you need prayer for anything, and especially if you would like prayer to be saved today, you know, time is growing shorter. The day of his coming is one day closer than it was yesterday that he'll be coming to get his church and will receive our rewards. And maybe you've been struggling with the decision to whether to go God's way or the way of there's pleasure in sin for a season. And you want to make that decision to change course today, to come to the Lord, to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God and to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. And so you can do that by coming to the prayer room and praying, brothers and sisters in there, and you can get a Bible. We'll give you a free Bible. You don't have to pay for it because Jesus Christ is free. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So feel free to come to the prayer room, bring your prayer needs with you. You have not because you ask not. And you can ask the Lord and let Him stand with you. So God bless you today. Continue to lead you and encourage you along your whole way with Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.